doctor, you can call him at 866-444-DIRT. And here he is, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody back to the show. 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. This hour is brought to you by SmartPot, smartpots.com. Jeremiah is holding over to talk about the container gardening he's doing a little bit more, but this is just an alternative that's unbelievable. I think it's maybe the best out there. If you don't know anything about it, go to their website and check it out at smartpots.com. It's fabric. It's fabric pots, all kinds of sizes, up to and including small beds, you know, that you can do raised bed gardening with these things. A lot of benefits. The colors, there's several colors you can get, but the dark colors in general, you can get white, you can get any kind of color. So they're flexible from that standpoint. I see them as primarily for backyard gardening, for vegetable and herb gardening and things like that. Move them around easily. Some have handles, some don't. A lot of different choices. Those of you that don't do internet, their telephone number is 800-521-8089. And those of you that are retail people out there, I recommend highly. They got really good looking displays, and we're going to be talking about this stuff a lot this year. So, and there's a good reason when the plant roots grow in these fabric pots and they go out and they hit the wall, they don't turn and start circling inside the container like plastic and, you know, terracotta and various other pots. They hit that fabric and splatter. This technology was originally used and still is in tree growing operations. Now it's been transferred over, adapted to home gardening. I think you'll like it a lot. SmartPots.com. And Jerem, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm hanging tight.
We kind of rushed that up. You said you had the grow box. Is that commercial product where you get the soil and the box and it waters from the bottom and you get everything in the kit?
Actually, I'm just assembling mine from scratch. I'm just assembling 4x8 boxes and then looking to put together a good soil mixture to grow vegetables. And I've actually got a lot of space, so I don't need to use the grow boxes. But from what I've read and understand, for a lot of the vegetables, it's an advantage to utilize water and things.
Well, it's an advantage for people who haven't done good bed preparation in the ground. So it'll be interesting for you. And if you have room, what I'd recommend is that you do some of this and you do some beds in the ground and see what difference there is. I think doing your own boxes is better because you can have them drain out the bottom and water from the top. The commercial products that I've seen are closed and the water is down in the bottom of the container and it's wicked up. And I don't like that. I don't think that's a good way to water plants. So is that how you were going to do it?
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to use the commercial, but just like you say, where it can drain out the bottom and water from the top, that's what I had in mind.
Okay, well, that's good. That's what you want to do. What we don't want to do is the other way, is have the water, you know, down in the bottom of the vessel and it being pulled up. I think you can get away with that for a while and probably even have good production for a while, but I think long-term, having the water go through the planting medium is draining away is a better way to go. And we rushed it, so I'll say it again. No peat moss, compost, rock minerals, and sugars. That's the three basic things that we recommend in the ground or in a raised bed. And you can use lava sand, basalt, green sand, granite. Azomite is a commercial product that's a mineral. Has a real wide range of minerals in it that would be good. The sugars are things like molasses, dry or liquid, and cornmeal. And you mix all that stuff together, and if you have the chance to wait a while after you've mixed it and have the microbes growing in there before you plant, like I was talking earlier, that's a better way to go than to mix it all together and plant away. Now, we do that all the time because people a lot of times don't have the luxury of the time. But if you do have time to do it, let it sit there and mellow out a while.
Oh, great. Well, that's why I wanted to get a jump on it now and approach it ahead of time.
But do some of the bed preparation if you have the room, and it sounds like you do, in the ground, and do some in these raised beds as well, and just take a look at what works better for you. If you get good production in the ground, there's no reason to go to the trouble to building the walls and building the boxes.
Okay, I like that suggestion.
Okay.
I do have one other question for you. On my property, I've got a lot of red blow sand, and I'm curious if I incorporate, is it a good idea or a bad idea to incorporate any of that within my gardening bed?
What does your soil look like? Is it a red soil also?
Yeah.
Everything there is red soil? It's probably
yeah,
the same.
When you get down into the soil, it's got quite a bit of clay.
Yeah.
So the top foot or two is just pretty much blow sand.
Well, you could send it off to a soil testing lab and have it tested, but the chances are pretty good that the sand portion that's blowing around is the same chemistry as the soil. So okay. Probably won't hurt anything to use it, but it's not going to be any benefit by adding some new chemistry or new, you know, dynamics to the soil.
Okay. That's great. That's exactly what I was curious about.
All right. Good luck. Keep us posted.
Will do. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
866-444-3478. Here's Randy in Chicago listening on our new affiliate, which is WCPT Progressive Talk. Hi, Randy.
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing great.
I guess what I'm primarily calling on, I'm just a little bit puzzled. Sometimes you get your input or you're driving by or you see something in someone's yard or whatever it might be, and you decide that's what you like and you plant something. And
I have
a couple of oak leaf hydrangeas, and I guess where I'm puzzled on, I wasn't sure if they require a male or a female or not, because this will be the fifth year this coming spring. Granted, they haven't bloomed yet, but so we'll say 4 years anyhow. Also, I get on, I've got just two of them on each plant. There's about one bloom or two blooms, and it's always on the very lower stems of the plant. I don't get, you know, I see them in everyone else's yards, and they're always
blooming up,
full of blooms, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, it's interesting that it does well there. That's a plant that we grow here in Dallas. And obviously it's tough enough to grow there in Chicago if you're seeing it in other places. A couple of tips for you. Have you just started listening to the show and just getting into organics?
I think for the Chicagoland area here, I think you've only been on the air here. Don't hold me to it. Just a very short time.
Yeah, we're
maybe.
Brand new there. I just wondered if you'd been doing organics or using synthetic fertilizers.
I haven't been. The only thing I do to my beds is, you know, I just had what they have around here. They call it a shredded hardwood mulch. You know, I don't put any monoranite or any fertilizers or anything like that. You know, everything seems to grow pretty good here in this part of the Midwest.
Okay. Well, your plants are probably hungry, Randy, for one thing. So you need to fertilize. Our basic recommendations, the basic organic program, is on our website on dirtdoctor.com or on the homepage there under guides. And right now, as soon as the ground's thawed out, if you're frozen there right now, but as soon as you're between thaw and leaf emergence, that's when you do the first fertilization. You do not wait until the leaves start to grow. That's a big difference that we have with the organic program. So we fertilize and start working on the soil health before those buds start swelling and the plant actually starts growing. And that'll probably make a lot of difference right there. The other thing that you can do wrong with oak leaf hydrangeas or other plants as well is to prune improperly. What has been your pruning practice on your hydrangeas?
I haven't pruned them. This fall is the first year I've pruned them because they were just starting to get a little bit bigger than what I wanted.
Okay.
Wanted them to be. So.
Well, that's a good answer.
They haven't been pruned since I planted them. And, you know, like I've I've been in the maintenance business for 30 years. So, like, one of my customers had the same thing planted in his yard. And, you know, we don't do any fertilization on his plants, and he doesn't do any. And, like I said, his are in bloom just full every single year.
Wow. Well, that's unusual because most plants, and those are plants that have been developed and, you know, grown in greenhouse situations or in, you know, nursery growing operations, I think you'll see a big improvement if you fertilize with organic fertilizers, use the Garrett juice mixture as a drench, and also on the foliage when you start to get leaf emergence early. And I'll give you a couple of tips real quick off the air. I'm Howard Garrett, and I'll be back right after this.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, is Howard's newest book. Howard explains in detail how to establish and maintain lawns, covering planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. This book explains an easier, less expensive, and less water-intensive program than using conventional lawn care. Have the best-looking lawn in your neighborhood. Get more information or order this great book today by going to Howard Garrett Books on DirtDoctor.com.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus, and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
Back with you, 866-444-3478. Well, I did two nimble-fingered things off the air. One is I tried to talk to Randy about the fact that since hopefully he's still listening, that if he's in the business, landscape business, he would have a good niche there to get into this organic world. It didn't sound like he was into it yet. And if you're listening, Randy, just send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com, and we'll give you some tips on who to talk to and people that could help with distribution and things like that if you're interested. And we'd be delighted to know people that are doing organic maintenance and landscape installation and interior plant work. That's where there's a very nice opportunity for people all across the United States to do organic interior plant maintenance. There's not that many people doing it, and of all the places where it ought to be done is inside around people that are, you know, sealed up in an apartment, and it works better, more cost effective, and everything else. The other thing I did when I was working my nimble fingers is I cut off Sharon, who is back. Thanks, Sharon. I'm sorry about that. In Cedartown, Georgia.
Oh, that's all right. Actually, I hope you got time for a couple of questions.
Sure, be glad to help.
Well, the one question, or the main question I called about, since it's nice today, we wanted to work on our yard a little bit. Our vermiculite, of course, we've got a lot of weeds coming up, and instead of using, like, you know, pre-emergence or something, I just wondered if there's something more organic that we could use to get rid of these weeds that are popping up.
Well, in Georgia there, what kind of grass do you have? Do you have St. Augustine?
No, this is Bermuda.
It is Bermuda, so it's full sun. Is it pretty much full sun, all your turf areas?
Most of it is. We do have a couple of Leyland cypress trees, and we're trying to grow fruit trees over there beside them, and I'm just kind of wondering if I need to take down those cypress trees too at some point.
Well, Leyland cypress are not plants that I recommend too highly because they have some built-in problems, but if yours are still healthy, there's no reason to get rid of them unless they're creating shade and you're trying to grow Bermuda grass. But the only thing you need to do for sure is to go ahead and do that first major fertilization of the year, which we've been talking about this morning, and you use an organic fertilizer at about 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet. It doesn't matter which one it is. We use dry molasses, we use corn gluten meal, we use the blend fertilizers, organic fertilizers, all at that same rate. Now, the one that has pre-emergent capability is corn gluten meal. And your weather's probably similar to us here in Dallas, would be my guess. And so based on that, we're in the window, the beginning of the window, where corn gluten meal applied would function not only as an organic fertilizer, but also as a natural pre-emergent for things like grass burrs, crabgrass, you know, annual weeds. You've probably got a couple of weeks here, if not more. It's a guessing game, really, about how soon it's going to warm up and how soon those weed seed are going to start germinating. The trick is to get the corn gluten meal applied and watered in prior to the weed seed germinating, but not too far from the time that they're going to germinate.
Okay.
Because if it sits there too long, it won't have the pre-emergent power. Now, that doesn't ruin it from being a wonderful organic fertilizer. It's a very powerful organic fertilizer, and it has some disease control capabilities. Any kind of corn product does. The corn products stimulate a beneficial microbe called Trichoderma, and Trichoderma overpowers some of the disease pathogens that we have. One of the most common that we have is Rhizoctonia, but Fusarium and Pythium and all these different diseases that are fungal primarily, the corn will help to keep them in check.
Oh, okay.
So those are the main things that you need to do. We also, when you get into the growing season, we recommend spraying and drenching in beds, especially and in pots, this mixture that we call Garrett juice. And Garrett juice is a mixture. It's corn, compost tea, vinegar, molasses, and seaweed. The formula is on dirtdoctor.com under guides right on the homepage.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also buy it commercially. Now, are there stores in Cedartown, Georgia, that sell it right now? I don't know. But we have a lot of listeners in Georgia, so the chances are pretty good that you can find it locally. And if not, just ask your local retailer. If they would be interested, they can contact us, and we can put them in charge in contact with, in some cases, directly with the manufacturers, in other cases, with the distributors that cover those areas.
So if you're mixing that, you have to use dry molasses, not a liquid molasses.
Oh, no, we use liquid molasses also. Liquid molasses is part of the Garrett juice formula.
Yeah, okay.
But as far as a fertilizer, the dry molasses is better. Because what it is little bits of soy. It's a waste material from the soy bean operation in some way. And what they do is they spray those pieces of soy bits with liquid molasses. So you got the combination of the molasses and the protein of the soy. And that's why it functions so well as fertilizer.
Oh, okay.
Do y'all have fire ants there where you live?
A little, but not a lot.
Okay. Well, my point was it'll help you with that, too. So.
Okay.
All right. Good luck, Sharon.
Right.
Welcome aboard.
All right. Well, thank you.
Appreciate the call.
Okay. Bye now.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. And if you want our newsletter, and the newsletter right now is going out, you'll be able to see it on the website and in the archives. It is about fertilizing. You can get it by simply sending us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today. Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on dirtdoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Black cow, the mature manure black cow.
If you want the best-looking grass in the neighborhood, top-dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best-looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure, Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Okay, Howard, back with you, and there's an open line for you at 866-444-3478. Mary's in Corsicana. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I will be working with black dirt, looks like gumbo to me. Very difficult to grow things in because this dirt is in a grove of 100-plus-year-old post oak trees, never been cultivated. And it'll be necessary to have raised beds. And my question is, I have access to untreated lumber that's left over from building, and how to preserve this lumber in order to keep it from deteriorating and where the chemical won't leach into the sawwall affecting the veggies. What do I use on this lumber before I start making my beds?
Well, you've kind of brought up the main problem, Mary. There's nothing that will preserve wood and keep it from rotting that's not toxic. So you either have wood that's going to decay at some point, or you have something that's too toxic to be around. Now, sure, you can put plastic sheets against the wood so that the plant roots won't go over and touch the wood, but there's always possibility of whatever's in it leaching into the soil and the roots getting over there and getting to it. So we don't recommend wood for that reason. Now, some of the community gardens have pretty good success with rough cut cedar. You say you've already got access to the wood, so do you know what it is, what kind of wood?
Well, it's used in building inside woods, like tuba sixes and just short pieces.
Okay, it's just regular lumber.
Yes, then. Regular raw wood.
Well, that doesn't work very well. That's not going to last very long because the organic program that we recommend stimulates biological activity, and these microbes eat the wood, and that's called rotting.
Yes.
And it goes away pretty quickly. Now, you said you had to do raised beds. Why do you think you have to do that?
Because of the problem soil. I've just never had this kind of soil for growing, but it's never been cultivated. And in the past, it grew cotton, I'm sure. It's in the prairie belt, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, believe it or not, the black soil can be very productive.
Yes, if you, how?
Well, you do two things, basically. You add air, and you add, air and you add organic material, organic matter in the form of compost. Now, there's other things that we do that help it, but some of the most productive landscaping and food crops around have a base of the black soil. What you do is you add to that black soil compost, rock minerals like lava sand, green sand, granite, and azomite, and things like that, and also cornmeal and dry molasses. When you till all that into the bed, real heavy amounts, especially of the compost and earthworm castings and organic fertilizers, it creates a raising of the area. But the black soil is a very important part of that mix. But you have to add these other amendments into it, and then you can have really good production. You say this is a post-oak area. Do you have plenty of room that's in full sun?
Yes. When the home was built 10 years ago in that area, expected, and I knew that they were going to lose some of the post-oaks because of the activity, and that happened. But at the same time, they were losing post oaks in the pastures that had never been touched, you know. So I feel like the building did not affect the post oaks all that much. Maybe it was the drought. That's all we could find out.
Well, the two things that will affect post oaks and take them out are drought, like you mentioned, and number two, the use of herbicides, broadleaf herbicides.
Yes.
And if you have that, post oaks are incredibly sensitive to it. We had a case several years ago where some people called us out to look at some incredible, just beautiful post oaks, and they were riddled. They were eaten up with mealy bugs and various insect problems, and we finally got them to admit that they had been using picloram and clopyrrolid and broadleaf herbicides in the area, and that just makes sense. So drought could be it. Drought has killed a bunch of the native oaks. There's no question about it.
Yes.
The way you prevent that is on specific trees where you can do it is you put out the organic amendments, especially lava sand. It helps hold the moisture better than anything, and you water those root zones of those trees you want to protect very deeply. You put, some kind of, if you have a way to do it, put a hose on there and let it run and run and run and really soak the roots thoroughly.
Okay.
But now, you can have good production with that soil. You just need to use my bed preparation recommendations and mix those amendments into the black soil, and that creates a raised bed. You don't even have to have sides on it. You just slope the sides down at an angle. Organic beds, especially when they're mulched after you plant, they'll stay in place and behave themselves very well.
All right. I'm willing to try that.
Okay. It works.
Thank you.
I appreciate the call, Mary.
All right. Bye-bye.
Somebody didn't want to call and want me to answer some questions. I don't mind doing that if we have time to work them in, but especially when it's more than one, you need to call in and we'll talk about it. The one question was about corn gluten meal and the issues about GMOs. There is an issue with GMOs with any kind of corn product that you buy. The ones you buy that are organic could possibly have across. That's one reason we've been so opposed to GMOs. The crossbreeding is uncontrollable. So the answer to your question is, when you buy a horticultural corn meal or corn gluten meal or any corn product from a nursery or garden center, the chances of it being GMO is probably 100%. Now, is that a problem? Yeah, it's a problem. There's no question about it. We hate it that it's out there and that the government and these large industrial companies have not only allowed that to happen, but are pushing it like crazy and continuing to. The good news is the solution to that contamination is the organic program. And the GMO part of cornmeal breaks down, disassembles pretty quickly, pretty efficiently in an organic program when you have all this biological activity. And that's why we recommend so many different amendments that bring something different to the table. So that's the answer on that. The other question is going to be a lot harder to answer. Person is asking about cotton burr compost and some specific brand that I'm not sure what's in it or what anything about it in detail. So cotton burr compost, I don't have a huge problem with in general, especially for landscaping. For food crops, yeah, there's some nasty chemicals in there, but once again, as residue, you know, in there, once again, the organic program and the cotton burr compost can be part of the good things that you're putting in there, even though there may be a little bit of contamination. But using the compost and the rock powders and the sugars, and that's one of the reasons we recommend the sugars in the beginning, is that it helps to stimulate that biological activity, make it just happen furiously on the front end, and helps neutralize pesticides and the GMO properties of the things that, you know, have that in them. And unfortunately, there's a lot of stuff besides corn that has the genetically modified. And those of you out there that are saying, why is he so concerned about that? They tell us it's safe and all that. Well, it's not safe at all. It has incredible health issues, especially related to gut issues, and they're finding more and more evidence that it's related strongly to degenerative diseases. So yeah, it's a big deal, but it's not that easy to solve. Laura in Cleburne next up. Hi, Laura.
I have a question for you today about fruit trees.
Okie doke.
My daughter moved to a place that has 24 trees on them. We don't know exactly how old they are. I think most of them are dwarf, but they're roughly 8 to 15 feet tall. And there's grass grown up to the tree bark. And I was wondering, at what stage do you always have to remove the grass around the tree when you do your, you know, feeding and compost, or is it when it gets mature, can you just leave the grass under the tree?
Well, it would be better to have either a thin layer of mulch or just bare soil right at the trunk of the tree. Grass is competitive and you know, grows around and can actually create a situation where it starts holding more dust and debris and building the soil up on the flare. So keeping that bare area of soil and then it turning into a thin layer of mulch and then getting thicker as it goes out is ideal. On the other hand, there are people that grow fruit trees and other kind of trees in grass. If you do it, I would recommend at the least that you spray the area right around the trunk of the tree enough to keep the grass dead, which means during the growing season, probably at least once a month, maybe a little more often, with vinegar, the vinegar herbicide solution, or one of the fatty acid products. In other words, one of the organic herbicides.
Okay. And how far out, if you were going to remove the grass away from the base of the tree, how far out would you go if you were going to just make a nice, clean area of soil?
Well, if the tree had a vote, Laura, it would prefer to have nothing but bark, mulched, shredded tree trimmings, but I'm using a bad word, shredded tree trimmings, mulch, out to more or less the drip line and maybe a little farther. Trees don't really like the competition of other things growing under them. They can tolerate, they can put up with it, and they can look fine and grow. But for the ideal conditions of what the tree would like, it would be nothing but a little bit of bare soil right at the base of the tree, the flare dramatically exposed, and then very thin shredded tree trimmings mulch going out and getting a little bit thicker and a little bit thicker out to somewhere around the drip line.
When you say the drip line, is that the end of a branch?
The edges of the growth of the tree. And truth be known, long term, the roots of a tree go out 3, 4, 5 times wider than the drip line. But when a tree's fairly young, they're going to be in there fairly close and be pretty much limited to that area between the trunk and the drip line. Now, when this is important for people thinking about fertilizing trees. Oops, I'll talk about it when I come back. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this. I have a great recommendation for container gardening. Smart Pot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
EcoSafe provides natural, organic pest control to take care of pests without using harmful, toxic products. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. EcoSafe specializes in the use of Spectra products to eliminate pests naturally. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities to the pest control companies. Call 1-855-825-2849 or go to EcoSafePest.com.
Howard Garrett here for Chia Omega. You know, the healthcare professionals often recommend supplementation of omega-3 for cardiovascular health, joint comfort, and healthy cognition. I recommend the all-natural plant-based Chia Omega family of omega-3 formulas. They combine chia oil with ingredients like DHA, EPA, enzymes, CoQ10, and vitamin D3 for enhanced health benefits. You can find Chia Omega at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. And the open line is 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. I was talking to Laura off the air there, and it was interesting because the thing that she wanted to know was when to fertilize the trees, when to fertilize fruit trees. And the fruit trees are fertilized at the same time. They're fertilized late winter and before the foliage starts to show up. Excuse me, I'm having a lot of you figured it out. Little coughing jag here, and I apologize for that. Thought I had gotten rid of it, and we haven't totally gotten rid of it. So, anyway, back to the fruit trees. We were talking about whether you're, no matter where you are, the time to fertilize the fruit trees is between the time that wherever you are, it gets warm enough in the soil for things to be thawed out. There's not frozen ground, there's not snow on the ground, and between and the time that the leaves emerge, you do not wait until April or and you do not wait until May or June if you're in some warmer place. As soon as the soil can receive the fertilizer and it can go into the soil, that's the time that you do it. Okay, back to the phones. Here's Lona in Glendale next up. Hello, Lona.
Hi. I bought a piece of property, and it was covered in plum thickets and briars for the most part and some oak and cedar. I cleared it except for the oak and cedar, and I trimmed those up about 10 feet. And I'm trying to establish some grass. I have horses. And I just wanted your recommendation on what I need to do and what type of pasture grass would be good for my area. It's Glendale, not Glendale.
Glendale, okay. Glendale. How many acres are we talking about, Lona?
About 6 acres.
Okay. Well, what do you have growing there now?
I did put out some ryegrass early in the, late in the fall. And there is some ryegrass, and there was some native ryegrass as well. And other than that, basically nothing.
Okay. Well, for the horses or any kind of livestock, what's usually the best thing to do is to have what's called a salad bar effect, which means you have a lot of different species of grasses and forbs and all that kind of thing. So if it were mine, I would stick with what you already have and add to it. And one of the easiest ways to add to it is to aerate the area with something like an airway aerator. Are you familiar with those by any chance?
I am.
The airway is a terrific aerator because it will stab the ground, and the design of the tines are such that as it pulls out, it rips the soil. And so I would do that, and then I would put out something like whatever the budget allows of dry molasses or some kind of an organic fertilizer or some kind of a dry humate. Or something that will, whatever you want to start with, that will help stimulate the biological activity of the soil. And you'll be surprised if you do that, how many more species of plants you'll see popping up here and there. Of course, don't do herbicides. Don't even spray organic herbicides unless you have something really, really noxious to take care of, knock out. Just let everything grow that wants to grow. You know, it's the cost-effective way to go, and it's a nutritious way to go, too, having that salad bar mix.
Okay. And what would be easiest on the budget as far as the organic fertilizer goes?
That's a good question. I would look at dry humate products. I would look at dry molasses. You can put dry molasses out at a lower rate than we recommend for organic a residential property. You know, we recommend 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet for a residence. Well, if you did that on a ranch, you'd be 800 pounds per acre. And most people are going to say, that ain't going to work financially. But what we have found is that if you put out the dry molasses as low as 100, 150 pounds per acre, you actually do get some benefit. Now, some people will put out dry molasses or some kind of organic fertilizer blend at that low level like that, and then they'll spray the property with a Garrett juice mixture of some kind, either commercial or making their own, on a once a month or once a quarter basis. And the more often you can do it, the better, obviously, and you'll see tremendous results with that. One dry application a year, and then as many liquid applications as the budget would allow.
Okay, and even though this had no grass on it before I cleared it.
I think you're going to be amazed how quickly things will come back from seed that are just dormant there in the soil. You can plant more seed. You can plant buffalo, but better would be the big grasses, the big and little blue stem, Indian grass, eastern gamma grass, Indian grass, all those kind of things. And if the budget allows, do that. That'd be fine.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay, appreciate the call. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and the telephone number is 866-444-3478.